Welcome to Groundwire Community Radio News, brought to you by volunteers at Canada's community radio stations. This episode of Groundwire was produced on the traditional territory of the Tlamin Nation. We're your hosts, Carrie Swigum,
Roger Thullen,
and Nola Poirier. In this episode, we're going to look into the voices of Powell River, with interviews from residents on issues of cultural significance.
What are the values of our communities going forward? If those values aren't there, then it's hard for that canoe to go forward.
Plus, the Algonquins of Barrière Lake talk about their ongoing dispute with mining operations on their territory.
It's going to be very destructive to our way of life. Even the rivers and streams will eventually be polluted in some way.
But first, here are the headlines.
In Vancouver, women from all walks of life joined in the march that happened in cities across the world. A few of the speakers you will hear are activists, local politicians, and community organizers. Nancy Trigueros, Mexican-Canadian activist.
So, what are we here for today? Well, yes, I'm a dual citizen. Yes, I voted. And when I woke up a couple of months ago, feeling about as low as I remember feeling in a very long time, I didn't know where to start. I woke up, I was so angry, and I was so scared, and I was so confused by what had happened that it took me a while to start breathing. But once I started breathing again, I started thinking, I have to do something. I must do something. What do I do? So we started looking around at things that could be done. And I'll get to a list of that in a minute. But first of all, I want to say that yesterday, what possibly could have been one of the lowest days, became one of my highest days as I started watching social media. The airplanes, did y'all see the videos of people on airplanes flying into DC? Amazing. The buses, the photographs of full buses from around North America and in fact around the world of people wearing those pink hats. If I knitted, I'd have one. I don't do that. And coming together, and all of a sudden I started to think, okay, not only am I breathing, we're doing, we're acting. So what are we gonna do here in Vancouver? Well, continue to make your voices heard. There are many, many ways to do that. Just in the next couple of months, we have Black History Month, many activities. We have International Women's Day coming up, many activities. On March 19th, we have a rally to mark the UN International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. That's a good one. And you can text 101 days to pledge to march with that. These are ways to make our voices heard, and there are many, many more. But we also need to do things. We need to take action. So I'm not going to go through a list of all the different campaigns and things you can work on. You know them. That's why you're here. But I'm going to point out two of them that I think are very important for everybody and women in particular. Raising people out of poverty. Welfare rates are ridiculous. Ridiculous. There's a great one. Another great one is affordable childcare. Last week, 2 weeks ago, and it was $7 a day childcare, and the family that I was staying with were quite low income, and they were able to have their young son in childcare and go to work because of that $7 a day childcare. That's a great campaign to work on. And what do we do when we work on campaigns? Go knock doors. Go knock doors. Find a campaign and make sure everybody you know is involved in it. And if there's a campaign that you think should exist and doesn't yet, start it. I heard it here several times today. We should do this, we should do that at the march. And the answer every time was, then do it. Then do it. You own this. You own this.
Rhiannon Bennell, member of the Musqueam Indian Band and a Delta School District trustee.
Today we stand here in solidarity with women around the world. We are here for our children, for our families, and for Mother Earth. As women, we can no longer be silent about the injustices women face on a daily basis. We are here at the crossroads of two paths, which leads to standing by and witness leaders violate women's rights and human rights in many forms, such as racism, misogyny, and patriarchy. We can no longer be silent about the violence against women, the violation of women's rights that takes place in our homes, in our workplace, in the environment that we live in. Or we can take action and be proactive in the protection of women's rights and human rights. We have a responsibility to protect ourselves, our families, and our communities from various forms of violence and injustices. We also have a responsibility to promote the need for sustainable practices in the use of lands, waters, and resources. In closing, we have an opportunity here in Vancouver to work together in making Vancouver a city of reconciliation. So what does that mean? For many, it means reconciling within, reconciling with family, reconciling with friends and coworkers, reconciling with people who we do not get along with. It means reconciling with the past and working towards building relationships with each other and building community based on mutual respect, love, and understanding. Tlako, tlako, chu, kelikasla, kulchish.
Kosi Lem, educator, artist, and community organizer living in Vancouver, BC.
So I consider myself as somebody who loves my culture and loves a lot of my traditions of my people and my ancestors. I've taken the time to try and learn my language, and I teach it at SFU just around the corner. And I believe in these things. I believe culture saves lives. My culture will save the lives of our young people if given access to it. But one of the things that I've had to take the time to learn, and I had to take the time to learn it because I was, depending on how you want to phrase it, called out or called in to think about things that I never thought about before. And one of the things that I hear often, especially from Indigenous men, that I think my personal opinion needs a little bit of correcting. This society treats women in such a despicable way, in my opinion. And there's so many ways that I've become aware of that now. And I don't think that we as men need to do something about it because women are our sisters or our daughters or our mothers or life givers. That's not the reason I think that we need to care about the way that this society is treating women. Those aren't the reasons. The reasons, in my opinion, that men need to start caring and doing something about the way this society treats women is because women are human beings.
That's it for the headlines. We'll be right back after this short musical break.
I can't see your clear waves slapping at my feet.
You just heard Shallow Waters by Takaya Blaney.
Now it's time for our feature stories.
In Powell River, BC, were incensed at the inaccessibility and last-minute notice of a visit from BC's highest governing official. Premier Christy Clark spoke at an exclusive event to 130 business owners and selected community members who paid $10 each to attend. It was the first visit by a premier to the Tlamin Nation and the community of Powell River on the Northern Sunshine Coast. The event was hosted by the Powell River Chamber of Commerce, although Chamber Manager Kim Miller made it clear that the event was constructed by the Premier's office. They had called the Chamber with the date, time, and location, requesting that Miller ask the business community to attend the meet and greet. Miller suggested a larger venue but was turned down. She also requested the community be invited. The Premier's security team allowed Miller to publicize the event to the community as long as they picked up their tickets in advance. Clark's visit angered some of the business community, and the Powell River Chamber of Commerce lost one quarter of their board of directors when three directors resigned over the announcement that their organization would host the event. One director who spoke to the local paper said she felt it was a direct conflict of interest for the chamber to host the event. President of the chamber, Jack Barr, is working on the upcoming Liberal campaign for the May 9th election.
If you believe in something, you should say it. If you stand for something, you should make sure you stick with it, what it is you stand for.
30 or so Powell River residents protested in the streets surrounding the restaurant. A group presented a Kinder Morgan surprise, staging an oil spill at the door to the venue. Organizers of the Kinder Morgan surprise stated in their leaflet, "We believe it is wrong for the premier to take over $700,000 in donations from the oil industry when she is supposed to be responsible for regulating that industry." Christy Clark had planned to walk down the main street and visit businesses, but changed her plans when word of the oil spill got out. Instead, Christy was driven up the back of the restaurant, where she refused to engage with those drumming and singing or with those with signs questioning her abuse of public education and public transportation. Once inside the event, she pushed aside the demonstrators lightly.
All of you inside the room and them outside the room, thank you for making your voices known in a democratic process. That's really important.
She did not, however, speak to any of the demonstrators about their concerns. Christy Clark wasted no time getting right to the point of her visit.
And in reflecting on Matthew and the decision that he's made to decide to seek public office, I was reflecting on, in some ways, how our upbringings were similar.
Clark promoted jobs, growth, and wealth, and maintained her position that the Site C dam would be beneficial to our future generations. The dam has received notable opposition, including a letter signed by 200 scientists in May of 2016 that stated, "Our assessment is that this process did not accord with the commitments of both the provincial and federal governments to reconciliation with and legal obligations to First Nations, protection of the environment, and evidence-based decision-making with scientific integrity." Christy Clark has pushed the project through despite pending legal challenges from Treaty 8 First Nations, landowners, and farmers in the Peace River region. Clark could not have been more clear in her agenda than when she referred to the upcoming election.
And we have a big shareholders meeting on May 9th, which I know you know about. And as Chief Clint said, you'll get the chance, yes or no, to decide what kind of future you want for the province.
Nicholas Simons, the incumbent MLA, attended the event and engaged with protesters before entering the venue. Simon has held the seat for the past 3 years.
Carrie Swigum of CJMP tells us the story of Powell River, BC, a carving, and the gifting of a canoe to the Tlamin Nation. She interviews two residents of Powell River, an Irish immigrant and a Tlamin elder.
My Tlamin traditional name is Quinanam. My given name is Phil Russell. Quinanam was given to me by John Lewis' family, and it's the name I'm really honored to carry. I've been involved in the Tlamin community for approximately 20 years in various things. I have to acknowledge Eric Blaney for inviting me onto the tribal canoe journey in 2007, so 10 years ago. And since then, I've been on 10 10 tribal canoe journeys, 2 local ones, and 8 of the large canoe journeys, of which this year is going to be very close in Campbell River and Cape Mudge in August. So that was when I went on the canoe journeys, I got to experience something that most non-Indigenous people ever experience, was to step into their world, step into the language, the protocol, the teachings, and it was an amazing experience. It was one of the most powerful things I've ever seen to change people's lives, Indigenous and non-Indigenous. Having traveled on the canoe journeys, I've seen the power of that journey to change people's lives in a very short period of time. And so I've talked with John and I talked with Cindy. They're the frontline workers in Kalaman. They're the part of the traditional wellness team, and they're good friends of mine. And so I take direction from them. I take their advice very seriously. And so I told them that this my vision was to commission a canoe, a reconciliation canoe, with all the work being done by the non-Indigenous community, to engage the non-Indigenous community in an act of reconciliation, to gift this canoe as an act of reparation to Klahus Hamalko Kla'aman, with the final use of that canoe to be in the hands of the Indigenous people as to where they want that canoe to be from that moment on. And so the intention was to engage the non-Indigenous community in a real way to be a part of this, not just come down to Wellington Beach or wherever the canoe is being carved and hang out for a half an hour or a day and then leave. It's to participate, to fundraise, to interact with the Indigenous people, to learn from the Indigenous people, to hear their stories in a real way. And so this is new. So it's so new, there's no timeline.
Reconciliation is getting the rest of Canada to understand the impacts so that it doesn't happen again. I've gone on quite a few tribal journeys. I've learned the history of the canoe and what its purpose is. In order for that canoe to go forward, everybody has to work together. All the people that are in the canoe, if only one side goes and paddles, the canoe is going to go in circle. If not everybody is paddling, the canoe is not going to move.
So this canoe project is very symbolic.
Yeah. Every person that's, from the person that's steering the canoe, who they call, to the ones that are paddling, the ones that are leading. Every person is just as important as the other person. It's no, there's no boss or anything like that. In order for that canoe to get to its destination, you got to have everyone working together. In the canoe, in the teachings, the seats represent the values. The people will change, the ones that are holding the paddles. Yeah. But they have to have those values. So the seat of respect, honor, love, humility. What are the values? What are the values of our communities going forward? If those values aren't there, then it's hard for that canoe to go forward. So Phil's idea, because of his encounters and I've had a lot of years with Phil, probably about 10 years, and he's talking about his challenges from where he came from. He's saying the same challenges. What happened there is happening here. A lot of other countries chose to go to war for losing their land, their rights, and stuff like that. Here we are, First Nations. We're still trying to work with the governments, with the organizations, through the treaty process. That's just another tool. How do we work together? How do we move forward together? What are our values? To me, Paul River, because of our history, are in a better place than a lot of other communities. We have a better relationship here with the community of Paul River. There's a thing that, I don't like the word hope, because it hope is about reaching forward all the time, trying to reach. So I don't know what other word to use, but that's the only word I can think about. You know, you got to have that hope for a better future.
Our next feature takes us to a press conference by Algonquins from Barrier Lake addressing mining on their territory.
For months, the Algonquins of Barrier Lake have been maintaining a land defense camp in the path of a proposed copper mine by Copper One Inc. on their territory, located at the headwaters of the Ottawa River. On January 20th, the provincial government of Quebec informed Copper One of its intention to suspend all the claims of Copper One to build a mine at Barrier Lake. The struggle against Copper One began in June 2016 when the Algonquins of Barrier Lake discovered that the Quebec Ministry of Energy and Natural Resources had unilaterally lifted the moratorium it placed on mining within their territory in 2011. The moratorium protected 10,000 square kilometers of land identified as traditional territory of the Algonquins of Barrier Lake in a 1991 trilateral agreement on renewable resources management, signed by the Indigenous community, the federal government, and the provincial government of Quebec. When the community discovered that the moratorium had been lifted, leaders requested an assurance from the provincial government that no mining projects were slated to take place on their land. On August 6th, Barrier Lake received a letter from a special representative of Quebec confirming no mining activity was planned within the Seaman Forestry sector, which covers a portion of the territory. It was later learned that Copper One had in fact submitted multiple claims to undertake exploratory drilling on Algonquin land. Other mining companies hold claims within the territory but are not actively pursuing exploration projects at the time. The decision to suspend Copper One permits was made by the government on January 20th and announced to the public on January 26th after a press conference held by Algonquins of Barrier Lake. The following is an excerpt from the press conference and addresses the continuing struggle for the protection of unconsensual mining. We first hear from Chief of Algonquins of Barrier Lake, Casey Ratt.
I would like to bring to light that our ongoing fight against Copper One, a mining company that's been trying to set up mining activities in our territory. And, you know, this mining activity, you know, that they want to do in our territory is very, it's going to be very destructive to our way of life, to our hunting right. Even the, you know, the rivers and streams will eventually be polluted in some way. And, you know, this is what our community has been fighting for you know, since we learned that the moratorium on mining in our territory was lifted by the Quebec government on, you know, without any consultation with our community members again. This is where, you know, the community has a problem with this mining act. It needs to be changed. It needs to be, you know, challenged. And we will be asking the AFNQL next week to help us in our struggle with this mining, and hopefully, you know, we will get a positive response with the AFNQL chiefs. And I will stand with any chief that, you know, that opposes mining in their territory. We will be very vocal as usual.
Welcome to Algonquin territory. The steps that are taking place in the mining industry, we very well much know that there's a big project. The community of Barrier Lake has been very vocal. We have a defenders camp in our territory to ensure that there is no activity. We've been monitoring the area. As soon as we got word that the moratorium was lifted, ABL members, Algonquins of Barrier Lake members, monitored the area. As Chief Ratt mentioned, we are looking for support from the public, even from the Quebec government, to put our territory as a no mining zone. And this is what we will be seeking at the Assembly of First Nation Quebec and Chief Labrador table. And we want to challenge the faults of the Mining Act. And we are seeking to Ghislain Picard to help us to move our concerns up ahead that in Quebec. We did a study in our traditional territory. We have a territory that's 10,000 square kilometers, And we've done our research. We can prove that we exist.
Copper One has 15 days to respond to the announcement of the government, and then the government will issue its final decision. Reporting from the Mississaugas of the New Credit Traditional Territory, this is Ome Salma Rahimtula for Groundwire.
That's it for this edition of Groundwire, produced on the traditional territory of the Tlamin Nation.
Music this week:
Shallow Waters by Takaya Blaney.
Headlines this week were written by Braden Alexander.
We also thank Ome Same Ramatula, Suzette Cullen, Susan Mullen, Carrie Swigum,
and Nola Poye.
Tune in again to hear Groundwire on your local community radio station,
or download at groundwire.org.